You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, midweek edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Jerry Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yeah, hello and a very warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast, the midweek edition here at William Hill. We've got plenty more international football to look forward to as the international break continues. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio to look ahead to the home nations in action this time around, and it's Sam Norris, who's the man that's going to be finding us the winners. How are you, Sam?
I'm very good, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, very well.
I'm good, but I'm also looking forward to the international break being over.
Yeah, everyone says that. It's becoming cliche, isn't it?
It is a bit, yeah. I don't think I'm breaking new ground there, am I?
There are some pretty good friendlies to look forward to. I mean, you've got Spain against Argentina. That should be a good game of football. You've got Brazil playing Germany as well. That should be pretty good. England, Italy could be good. Then you've got the likes of Scotland away at Hungary, and it's not quite so good. But
yeah.
we're gonna have a look at that game anyway. Before we get stuck into all that, Sam, we're not far away from the World Cup. All these international friendlies getting done and dusted. A couple of countries, the home nations, haven't even decided to bother with the second ones, which is quite interesting. I know they're not necessarily World Cup preps for them because it wouldn't be the case. But it's interesting that they've not bought into this having two friendlies when everyone else does.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised to see that the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland just opting for the one friendly this time around. Obviously, traditionally teams play Friday and the Tuesday, or you know, you play on the Thursday and the Sunday. And yeah, it is interesting to see those two just having the one match. These friendlies mean more to the teams going to the World Cup, of course. But at the same time, it's more of a free ride if you're not heading to Russia, because you can genuinely play a completely experimental squad. Whereas for teams who are heading to the World Cup, you need to have in your mind a group of players who are going to be potentially starting, try out the systems that you want to actually use in Russia. But for the teams that aren't going, like, we'll get on to Hungary and Scotland, they can play any sort of team they like, really. It doesn't matter. Even if you suffer a heavy defeat, yes, it's not great. Nobody wants to lose. But it's not going to dent the players' confidence going into a major tournament. So you can afford to be much more experimental if you're not heading to the World Cup. And for all that we know that it's difficult to try and predict the teams that are going to line up for friendlies, it's easier with those teams that are heading to the World Cup, because there's a group of players that they're going to pick from. There's not going to be too many left field inclusions in the actual starting 11s, because they, you know, international managers don't get too much of a chance to work with their players. So for teams that aren't going to the World Cup, it's a chance to be very creative, I think, and be as experimental as you like, which doesn't make betting on them all that easy.
I suppose it doesn't, but we're going to try anyway. We're going to try and find some angles into the Hungary-Scotland game. That's where we're going to start. 7 o'clock kickoff as Hungary take on Scotland. The home side 17-10, the draw 2-1. Scotland are 9-5, two teams that don't win all of that often, I suppose, or particularly recently anyway. And Scotland, under the new manager Alex McLeish, got beat by Costa Rica in his first outing. So I suppose you mentioned that there will be rotation going on, there'll be experimentation going on, but deep down he'll be desperate for a win, won't he? You don't want to go two games in this little international spell without registering his first victory. So perhaps that has a bearing on how important this will be to Scotland. But in terms of a bet, I'm with you. It's going to be quite tricky, so help us out here.
Yeah, definitely so. As you say there, Alex McLeish will be desperate for a result here, especially given the fact that it's well documented that he wasn't first choice for the job. So he'll feel doubly motivated to try and prove himself now in his second spell in charge of Scotland. That 1-0 defeat to Costa Rica, they're obviously World Cup bound in the summer. So it's probably no major disgrace to lose to Costa Rica. I think they're very much entitled to beat Scotland in that game, but the performance was pretty lacklustre, it has to be said. There was a few boos at the final whistle And it wasn't an inspiring performance whatsoever from the players. I'm not really sure that Alex McLeish is much of an inspiring appointment, to be fair to them. But there are ways to lose games. Yes, they only lost by a goal to a team who are heading to Russia in the summer, but there wasn't too much to like about that Scotland performance. Scott McTominay was a rare bright spark in the game, but he'll miss this one against Hungary through injury. Obviously, there's no Lee Griffiths, who is not in the squad through injury. He often looks like the only man capable of scoring for Scotland. And with changes very likely for this game, it's hard to make a massive case for them winning. I wouldn't want to go anywhere near them at their price. But similar comments sort of apply to Hungary, really. I mean, they're no great shakes either, and I'm not sure I'd want to back them in this match. They lost 3-2 to world-ranked 136th Kazakhstan on Friday. I know world rankings, you can, you know, take that with a bit of a pinch of salt, but I mean, Kazakhstan aren't very good. Conceding three goals at home to Kazakhstan is major alarm bells. So they lost 3-2 to Kazakhstan last week, so I didn't really want to back them to beat Scotland on the back of that. On sort of direct collateral form with Costa Rica, Hungary beat Costa Rica back in November, who then just lost to Scotland. Didn't work out quite like that, of course, but they have showed that they're, you know, capable of winning games and beating decent opposition, which Costa Rica are. But then they lost to Luxembourg, who are a serious minnow. They needed a late goal to get past the Faroe Islands and conceded five, admittedly, away at Switzerland. But this is just their last five games. They're blowing hot and cold, and I wouldn't want to chance them at 13-8, just in the form that they've been, and a particularly alarming defeat last Friday to Kazakhstan. So they're a tough proposition to fancy at 13-8. So maybe you could land on the draw then, but that's more because I don't want to back Hungary or Scotland, not because I'm mad keen on the draw. That's 2-1. I'd rather just swerve the outrights. And I'd be tempted to throw a few quid at a goal scorer here. Nemanja Nikolic to score any time is 23-10 for Hungary. It's one to wait for team news because, as we mentioned earlier on in the podcast, it's a stab in the dark trying to guess who's going to line up, especially for two teams who aren't World Cup bound. Literally anybody could play. But he started their last three games. Admittedly, he hasn't got the 90 minutes on any occasion, but if he starts, 23-10 is not a bad price for him. He's capable of scoring multiple goals on his day. Plays club football for Chicago Fire in the MLS. Their season's only just up and running, of course, but he's already been off the mark with two goals in his first two games this MLS season. He scored two in his last three internationally for Hungary, including the winner against Costa Rica back in November. He played 70-odd minutes of that game against Kazakhstan on Friday before coming off, so he is no guaranteed starter here. Starting in Hungary's last three, I'd be hopeful that he starts again. And if you go to the back end of last MLS season, all in all, it's 10 goals in his last 10 games for club and country, which isn't a bad strike rate. You wouldn't be certain that Scotland are going to keep Hungary out here. For all, I don't think Hungary are particularly excellent going forward. I certainly wouldn't rule them out scoring. And if he starts, 10 in his last 10 for club and country isn't too bad. It's a speculative bet, but it's that kind of game where you have to have a speculative selection. He's 23-10. And yeah, for a man with 10 his last 10 for club and country, it seemed a fair bet. So I'd be inclined to throw a couple of quid at him and just try and swerve the outrights.
Goal scorer bet then for Sam in that one. Hungary against Scotland, siding with Nemanja Nikolic to get on the score sheet there. Let's move on to a game which hopefully should be a little bit more easy to fathom in terms of betting angles. The England match on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock kickoff at Wembley. England 21-20. The draw is 21-10. Italy 3-1. England trying to finalise or put together some World Cup preparations under Gareth Southgate. He's named a very almost controversial squad. Plenty of players in there that people questioning and so on and so forth. Italy aren't going to the World Cup. They've got plenty of questions to answer themselves. So in terms of importance, you could be saying that, you know, this means more to England. Are they a good bet, therefore, at 21-20? And factoring the home form as well, very good at Wembley. 2016, yeah. England's last defeat at Wembley, in fact, I think. Do England look a good bet here at 21-20 to you?
I think they're definitely worthy favourites in this match. As you said there, we sort of talk about, oh, friendlies are pointless, etc. And, you know, for the fans, they can seem that. We know that there's World Cup preparation to be had. But obviously, for the players involved, it's got much more of a pointless look about it for the Italians, whereas there are a lot of England players and a lot of, as you say, sort of fringe players potentially playing for a spot on the plane. You looked at the starting lineup against Netherlands on Friday, and there weren't too many guaranteed starters in that team. You had Kyle Walker, who I think is guaranteed to start, Raheem Sterling as well, and probably John Stones. But those were the only sort of three that you thought, well, these are definitely going to start. So everybody else is playing for a World Cup place in essence. So the game is obviously going to mean much more to England, much more to those players. I thought they looked okay against the Netherlands on Friday night. They seem to be adapting reasonably well to this new sort of shape at the back with the three centre-backs and the two wing-backs. Depending on how you want to spin the stats, you could say that they're adapting incredibly well to it, given that they've now played in that shape for four games and have yet to concede a goal. They beat Lithuania 1-0, 0-0 draws with Germany and Brazil, and obviously beat the Netherlands on Friday night by a goal to nil. So there's an argument to suggest that England are beginning to look defensively sound. Those four games where they've played in that shape, if you extend it back a game further to the Slovenia match, it's five clean sheets in the last five now in all competition. There could be a few changes at the back on Tuesday. Obviously, Joe Gomez came off against the Netherlands. He's going to miss this one. Kyle Walker also started that game as one of the back three, which I thought was fairly interesting, but that's surely not going to be the position that he's going to play in Russia. He'll surely be in that right wing-back role. So either he won't start or he'll be starting in the wing-back role, I would have thought. So there could be a few changes at the back. He might change his goalkeeper as well. Jordan Pickford started against the Netherlands. It seems that Southgate wants a ball-playing goalkeeper, and Jordan Pickford would probably fit the bill best of those available. But
he was quite impressive.
He was, to be fair. And I think the general English performance was one of sort of cautious optimism. You weren't blown away by it, but you're just thinking, okay. And it's funny because it's almost an Italian blueprint that they're adopting now, being very good defensively first and foremost, and sort of trying to build from that. The frustration, of course, for many England fans will be the lack of a clinical, ruthless streak up top. I mean, Lingard's goal was England's first in 300 minutes of football. And to be fair, the previous two games came against good sides in Germany and Brazil, but only managing a solitary goal against Slovenia and Lithuania to round out the qualifying stage. It's not a problem, of course, as long as you win the game, but it doesn't bode too well when you don't look like you've got two goals in you. And let's make no mistake, that was a poor Netherlands side on Friday night. They haven't qualified for the last two tournaments. And there's no fluke about that. There's no hard luck story. They're just not that good anymore, the Netherlands. But I still think there were more positives than negatives to take out of the game. Coming up against Italy, who, as you mentioned, failed to qualify for the World Cup. First time in 60 years they haven't qualified for the World Cup. Suffering playoff heartbreak at the hands of Sweden. That came as much more of a shock than the Netherlands not qualifying. And they could just be there for the taking, the Italians. As mentioned, I think the English players will be much more up for this than the Italian side are. They've already played one friendly in this round of fixtures in England. They were beaten 2-0 by Argentina on Friday at the Etihad. They kept Argentina out for 75 minutes, but then ultimately Argentina put two past them and won the game. I do think England are probably worthy favourites. I think even money 21-20 is probably just tight enough. It's an obvious bet, but under 1.5 goals here is 7-4. And that's landed in England's last five in succession. I've just spoke about how it looks as though Gareth Southgate is dead set in his mind that this is the formation, the system that he wants to play. And as I say, we've looked fairly sound at the back over the last few games. And for under 1.5 goals to land in five consecutive matches for any team in any league is fairly eyebrow-raising.
And if you're looking for a team that would normally fit, it would be Italy, wouldn't
Italy,
it, traditionally?
Exactly, yeah. As I mentioned, that's very much the Italian blueprint. Going back to Italy's last few games, again, under 1.5, landed in four of their last six in all competition. I mean, Argentina put two past them, but they've got much more attacking riches than England have, and they kept Argentina out until 75 minutes. So while I think England are the worthy favourites, a 0-0 wouldn't really surprise me here. So I think I'd rather play under 1.5 goals at 7-4. Couple of other bets that you could have a look at. England to win and under 2.5 is 5-2. That doesn't look bad if you sort of think, yeah, it'll be low on the goals, but I think England will win, and it could be a very similar story to the game on Friday night. That's not too bad. And England to win the game 1-0 is 5-1. So you could have a little look at those two. But I think under 1.5 goals here at 7-4, it's never the funnest game to watch when you've backed unders. Given the way England's set up lately and the way Italy traditionally have always been, it could just be a good, solid defensive performance from both sides. And I think under 1.5 is worth a look this week at 7-4.
You say that. It could be more fun because you get to cheer every time it goes wide, every time it goes out for a throw-in, every time there's a goal kick, you can have a good cheer. So.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I agree as well. I wouldn't be surprised if this finished 0-0 in terms of the whole game, but half-time 0-0.
as in like tight slow start. Maybe we see a goal or two in the second half. 0-0 at half time is 6-4, by the way.
It's probably a really good bet that, because you couldn't, yeah, the way these two sides set up, you can't imagine that it's going to be fast and ferocious in the first half. Yeah, I like that.
One thing I want to ask you as well, one other thing, is Italy are 3-1 in the betting. As a value player, as a prize player, could you state a case for them, given that, I know they haven't qualified for the World Cup and everyone sees that as a major disappointment, but prior to that, they were winning games from October 2016 through until this bad spell where they didn't qualify the last five games or so. They'd only lost to Spain in that whole time. The rest of the time, there's a whole host of wins in there, a couple of 0-0 draws, one of them with Germany, and they drew 1-1 with Spain. So, they got the right results, barring these last five games. Is it suddenly like a huge crisis for Italy, or is it people just putting two and two together and getting five, if you like?
It's probably a reactionary move from the traders. I mean, if you'd have said even a year ago England will be even money 21-20, Italy will be the 3-1 outsiders, you'd say, well, that's blatantly wrong, and Italy are a big price. So if you look at it from an analytical point of view like that, then yeah, definitely, it's very hard to ignore their recent forms. He's actually watched them in a good portion of both of those playoff legs against Sweden. They didn't really inspire very much, but yeah, I mean, if you are looking at it, the obvious qualities in that Italy side, then 3-1 could be argued as a big price. Of course, the only worry that I would have, again, mentioning team selection, it'll have more of a first-team look about it, this England side, whereas, well, I'm not sure what side Italy are going to put out, obviously, but with no World Cup to go to, they could ring the changes a little bit more, and we could see a few more fringe players, perhaps, for Italy. But I could certainly see why someone would argue that 3-1 is a big price. And as mentioned earlier, I do think that England are probably skinny enough at the price that they're at. I wouldn't back them at that price. I'd rather back them to win an under 2.5 and get 5-2 and have a little bit less on than take the 21-20, which, yeah, I'm not entirely sure that's a fair representation of their chances here. So I could see the argument for Italy being value at 3-1, but there wouldn't be for me at present. I'd be keen to just go low on the goals and under 1.5, maybe try and cover yourself with under 2.5 as well, which is 8-15.
Yeah. I would be singing from the same hymn sheet, incidentally. I was just posing the old question whether...
Devil's advocate.
Yes, that's the one. I was going to say as well, first half unders on the goals, traders are onto that, but under 0.5, that will be that 0-0 one. It's at 6-4, same price as that. I was just seeing if there was any value in under 2.5 or anything like that, or under 1.5, but there isn't, so we'll leave that there. England against Italy then. One player, you know, you mentioned team news as well, one player that a certain granddad will be hoping plays will be Lewis Cook, of course, because he had a bet with William Hill, I think.
Yeah, I think he did.
That if Lewis Cook played a game before the end of, before a certain birthday, wasn't it, whatever birthday it is.
He's 26th birthday, something like that, yeah.
Stands to win a fair bit of money, so if you're listening, Gareth, do the right thing, yeah.
Well, just from a truly selfish point of view, is that 17k going to come out of our Christmas party fund or something?
Yeah, don't play, Gareth, don't play.
Exactly. We're not going to get a bonus this year if we're churning out 17k on these kind of bets. No, but it would be a great story. Wouldn't be the first time, would it? Of course, Chris Kirkland's dad or granddad placed a bet on him getting a cap for England. And there's an article on Twitter. There's a few shrewdies who've seen the potential in their children or grandchildren and have collected before. So yeah, in all seriousness, would be a great story if Lewis Cook gets the nod, or gets any game time at all, of course, then it would count, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, if he comes off the bench and plays the last 30 seconds, then it would be good to him. And you could do that, Gareth, you know.
Yeah, it's not missing you. Last minute.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
There you go. That's the thoughts then on England, Italy. Just overriding opinion then, pretty much low on goals and tight cagey affair, probably.
Yes, yeah. I think hopefully it'll be another game where we can take some positives out from England perspective. And it seems that Southgate is trying to focus more on defence at present. 5 clean sheets in the last 5 games for England against some good opposition in there, and Italy have sort of played in that manner for as long as I can really remember. So it could be 2 defensive sides, which would obviously point to low on the goals.
Here's a scenario for you, Sam. England get a good result here, and then their last 4 games they've drawn with Germany, the reigning world champions.
Yep.
They've drawn with Brazil. Brazil. They've beaten the Netherlands. They've got a good result against Italy. Suddenly, we're going to win the World Cup. We go and beat Nigeria, and then I'll be at Ellen Road for the Costa Rica game, cheering the team off to go to Russia, and I'll be so full of optimism, I might burst.
Yeah, well, there'll be a wave of national optimism again, won't there? And we'll see that price contract. So the patriotic pound, they call it.
Yes,
and yeah. that'll be well and truly down on England. Yeah, hopefully we can go there with a puncher's chance, but we'll see. Getting out of the group we got out of the group last time, didn't we? But I'd have almost rather gone out in the group, I think, than losing to Iceland last time around.
Yeah, that was funny, wasn't it? Good. Thanks.
Silly, that was.
It's just silly. Thank you very much, Sam. Been a pleasure. Good luck and enjoy these friendlies this week.
Cheers, Matt.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.